With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
To no one's surprise, the overall number one seed is Duke, with the Blue Devils playing in the East Region. The Blue Devils, the 14th time they're a number one seed. Their first since 2015. Four of their five titles came as a number one seed.
One of the highest rated CBS NCAA selection shows in recent memory. The overnight,
like a four and change.
I want to say the overnight was a four plus. So maybe they finally figured it out. Less talking, less fake drama. Just give us the damn bracket and then talk about it. And one of the guys who knows more about it than any of us is joining us now, Eli Hershkovich of The Score, who is on Twitter at Eli Hershkovich, is with us on the Bernstein and McKnight show. Eli, what's going on?
What's going on, guys? It's the best time of the year. It's Christmas, it's Hanukkah, it's Kwanzaa, it's everything combined.
No. Well, your first thought when you saw all the names and the seeds, was it fair enough or no?
Yes, my one issue with the selection committee was, like we talked about during the break, Michigan State being in the Duke region, in the East region, as the number two seed in that side of the bracket. You think after winning the Big Ten tournament title, after that comeback against Michigan, three wins against a fellow two seed in the Wolverines would get you a bit of an easier route to the Final Four, a bit of an easier region, but they get the East region, so you're able to get your fans out there a little easier than if they put you in the South or the West as well. And you also have a bit of an easier path to get to the Elite Eight than if you're put in another side of the bracket.
Did you hear Mike DeCourcy this morning when he was on with Molly and Haw?
I did.
He's like, screw geography. Like, who really cares about geography when most coaches say all that matters is the matchup?
Win basketball games. And Michigan State presents a lot of matchup problems. One of the best point guards in college basketball, and Cassius Winston, still doesn't get enough respect for me. His ability to, his vision in the half court and in transition is phenomenal. They have some really good bigs in Nick Ward, Xavier Tillman, and Kenny Goins, who's come on from three big time in Big Ten play. Also, Matt McQuaid, a tremendous perimeter defender. Michigan State has a lot of pieces.
Shooter, his range is crazy.
Yeah, from the wing, from the corner, he was money during that Michigan game, especially in that comeback, too. I was so impressed. That's back-to-back comebacks against Michigan facing double-digit deficits against one of the best defenses in college basketball.
I was pretty entertained watching Tennessee get absolutely bludgeoned by Auburn in the title game there in the SEC. I had seen Tennessee a couple of times, really liked the mix, and they just, I mean, they turtled in that game. They were just hit by too many three-pointers. What do you make of that conference overall and the couple of seeds that came out with Kentucky a 2 and Tennessee a 2, and then you've got Auburn at a 5?
I love Auburn, and I hate saying that because I have a Tennessee future at 35-1 to begin the season, so I would love the Vols to go on a run and win the national title. I do expect the Vols, I mean, that region that they're in, it's not the toughest one. You have Virginia, but their side of the bracket, I expect some upsets along the way in that bottom half of the bracket for the Vols. You have a St. Mary's team that could upset a Villanova along the way. Tennessee has a nice path to get to the Elite Eight, but with Auburn, their three-point shooting, this was a top-10 team coming into the year. Jarrett Harper and Bryce Brown gave that Duke team all they could handle in non-conference play in Maui. A really good defender in Malik Dunbar, too. So this is an elite defensive team, one of the better shot-blocking teams in college basketball. They could shoot the three at a really high rate. They push the floor. And you think about some of the teams in their side of the bracket in the Midwest region, a UNC team that, yes, they can push the tempo as well. Kobe White and Cam Johnson can rip it from deep, but they allow a ton of threes. So if you're looking ahead a little bit, everyone wants to take New Mexico State, right? Because you have the 12 seed against the 5 seed. It's the traditional upset in the first round. But last season, you had three number 5 seeds get past the 12 seed. So it's not like that happens every single year. There are other upsets I like along the way. Auburn has a lot of pieces to make a deep run in this March Madness.
When we're talking about the next coaching cycle, the coaches that play their way and coach their way into the conversation for a promotion, who are they?
Nate Oates for me at Buffalo. I love what the Bulls have done this year. CJ Massenburg is an elite guard. And what Nate Oates does in the half court His motion offense runs a bunch of ball screens. Buffalo has a shot to make a run. They did it last year with beating Arizona in the first round, losing to Kentucky in the round of 32. But that's an elite offense and a really underrated defense as well with Massenburg, who could do it at both ends. Oach is a damn good coach. And then with Belmont, who could play themselves into the round of 64 and potentially make a run after that. Belmont runs a lot of ball screens as well, a motion offense, a lot of backdoor cuts. I don't know if you guys saw the Belmont-UCLA game earlier in the year. Probably not.
Is it Princeton stuff?
Yes, Princeton-style offense with Rick Byrd, a really good
like
coach.
Like Bill Carmody, Northwestern, that kind of thing?
Correct. Okay. A lot of ball screens, getting a lot of backdoor cuts. And he ran, I think it was three straight backdoor cuts against a terrible UCLA defense that were able to knock off the Bruins in non-conference play.
That helped get Steve Alford fired.
Exactly. Screw Steve Alford. I hate UCLA more than anything. Iowa not. I actually do hate Iowa more than UCLA, so I'll take that back.
That's fair.
But with Rick Byrd, a really good Belmont team that could shoot the three. Tough matchup in that playing game against Temple because Temple, the Owls defend the three at a really high clip. But Belmont is an interesting team. I would say Buffalo and Belmont with Oates and Byrd respectively are two coaches to watch for.
So Kansas gets a four seed. They get Northeastern in the first round. Then it's either New Mexico or Auburn, two teams we've talked about already. And then the top seed in that half of the bracket is North Carolina. Is there, you know, the FBI is going to be involved in some way here once the tournament is over for Bill Self and Kansas. Like, is there a reckoning on the way, perhaps?
I could see it, and I could also, well, we saw the reports over the weekend, quote-unquote, Bill Self is going to be the next Bulls coach.
Uh-huh.
So he's coming to Chicago now. I'm just kidding. No chance that happens. But yeah, you could possibly see Bill Self be on his way out at Kansas. I mean, DeSosa, who is their big, was ruled ineligible. He was a contributor last year, and then he's ruled out for this entire season. As a bookie, has also been in a similar issue. And you think about what Bill Self dealt with in the past, too, with his past teams that have had elite talent. Cliff Alexander was on that Kansas team, a Chicago native, and he was ruled ineligible down the stretch for the Jayhawks a few years back, 3 or 4 years back. But my biggest concern with Kansas overall this year is their inexperience in the backcourt. Two really young guards, Nevon Dotson and Quentin Grimes, and also a Chicago native in Charlie Moore in the backcourt. So they have backcourt depth, but their youth, two freshman guards in Dotson and Grimes. Grimes has come on of late from three, but that Northeastern matchup is really tough. Kansas cannot defend the three for their lives. We saw Iowa State bash them from deep in the Big 12 tournament title game, and Northeastern can gun it from three, man. They crushed their CAA title game performance against a really good Hofstra team that has Justin Wright Foreman, an elite scorer in college basketball. They slowed him down. They shot it really well from three. I love this Northeastern team on the money line to pull off that 13-4 upset.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. With only five home games remaining, the Chicago Wolves are making their push to the playoffs. Celebrate this 25th anniversary season with free parking, courtesy of Kia, as well as discounted concessions. For ticket information, visit ChicagoWolves.com. You talked about Michigan State, Michigan a little bit. Of the other Big Ten teams, and they are myriad, who else has an opportunity based on either the way they're playing now and or their current path?
I can't say I'm a fan of any of them, to be honest. I do not like Purdue by any means. Carson Edwards, as much as he could shoot you into a game, he could shoot you out of it. And we saw that against Minnesota in that quarterfinal of the Big Ten tournament, 7-24, something like that. He did that at Minnesota, too, the week before that clinched a tournament berth for the Golden Gophers, essentially. Carson Edwards is a high-volume scorer. There's no doubt about that at 5'11". Guy could shoot it from three. He could drive in the lane. He's really quick in transition. But that is a small ball Purdue lineup that thrives off shooting threes. And you look at that St. Mary's team that I talked about. St. Mary's, a team that the Gales that beat Gonzaga in the West Coast Conference title game. That team defends the three at an extremely high clip. They rebound the basketball at a top 12 rate defensively. So you're talking about a team that can board with Purdue on the glass, a smaller Boilermakers team, and slow down the tempo because Purdue wants to push the tempo. That's the key in this tournament. It's controlling the pace. And when you think about a Purdue team that wants to play fast, St. Mary's is an elite sluggish offense, and I don't mean sluggish in a bad way at all.
How many teams are there like that? How do you recruit to that? I know Virginia wants – Virginia unwatchable.
Well, that's
to
not
me. That's really not bad. I mean, Wisconsin a little bit, and you mentioned Belmont is a team that runs structured offense. There are so many coaches that have trouble doing that because every kid that you're talking to wants to run. I still think it's a tough sell to say, hey, come here. We're going to have fewer possessions, and we're going to score less.
Well, the biggest part for a Purdue team that lost four of its starters last year. So you're talking about implementing a brand new offense, especially with a bunch of new starters in that lineup. And you think about a St. Mary's team that is so experienced. Northeastern is much more experienced than a really youthful Kansas team. So to be able to play at that pace like Tony Bennett does at Virginia, you have to have experience.
Is with John Morant and Murray State, I would imagine that the betting public is going to force decisions on Murray State that are going to be a little bit different than what the outcomes of their games might actually be. It seems like those two things are going to be at odds as you're watching games. What are your expectations for him, and how would you bet that team specifically?
Well, looking at Murray State in the first round matchup against Marquette, before the seedings came out, I was not a fan of Murray State by any means, because when you think about that offense, when they don't have three-point shooting. So if you collapse on Ja Morant, you can't really stretch the ball from the perimeter, and you're talking about a team that is forcing the ball inside a little bit when Morant gets too aggressive and you're down, like we saw when they played some high-major teams like Alabama in non-conference play. They could not shoot it at all, and that cost them against the Crimson Tide, who are not a tournament team, but that's still a high-major opponent in SEC play. So you think about Marquette, a team that lost in the semifinal of the Big East tournament. I like the matchup for Murray State. As much as I just said that the Racers could have a tough time in the NCAA tournament, it all depended on the draw, like any matchup. And Marquette in Marcus Howard, one of the best scorers in college basketball, has that hand wrist injury, and it really affected him against Seton Hall. Did not shoot the ball well from three by any means in that semifinal matchup, and missed a bunch of free throws down the stretch too. So as much as you want to expect a Ja Morant Marcus Howard showdown, it's going to come down to the other perimeter threats for Marquette. And don't get me wrong, this team could shoot it from three as well with the Hauser brothers, Sakar Anum, a really underrated defender, a good on-ball defender. That's going to be the matchup to me, if Sakar Anum can slow down Ja Morant from Murray State. But on the flip side, Murray State has a top four defense, perimeter defense in college basketball, and Marquette loves the three ball. Obviously with the Hauser brothers and Sakar Anum, and Marcus Howard, I expect Murray State to pull off the upset here. I think the line is about 4.5. I grabbed that last night. It opened at about 5.5.
Wow. Unique players. We know the NBA prospects. Is there anybody in here who I'm going to love because he's fat? Or
who's the Kevin Pitsnoggle of this tournament? That's the question.
Yeah, it's like, do you have
find me a Pitsnoggle,
like a favorite pet player on one of these teams who just either has a totally funky style or is just shoots weird or has a bizarro name? Who's in this tournament that we might remember for reasons other than the fact he's going to be drafted?
Well, you think about across college basketball. I don't have that fat point guard. I don't have that chubby
John
guy.
Bagley?
Lord knows I want a fat point.
Right, I was going.
Tommy Coverdale.
I was running through the NCAA tournament yesterday, and I couldn't really find that type of player, that type of a bigger point guard, a 5'11" point guard that you're going to love, that's going to run you through an NCAA tournament. Sorry to disappoint you there, Dan, but I will say a player that has a somewhat unorthodox shot, and because he's a lefty, you don't see that 6'8" stretch forward lefty in college basketball as much. But the two I'm looking at are Belmont, an offense that we talked about, Windler, their three-point shooter. He could stretch it from three. And Ignas Brazdeikis from Michigan.
Yeah, that's
a lefty stroke from three. He could take you off the dribble.
He's a big personality too. Like,
exactly.
He's always talking to everybody.
It hasn't worked out from his perspective against Michigan State
after getting swept
in three matchups against the Spartans. But that's two guys that could stretch the floor from three. Again, my issue with Belmont, though, is that Temple team can defend the three, but two stretch fours that can space the floor. I love watching those 6'8" lefty bigs that can space the floor. So those are the guys I'm looking for, Windler and Ignas Brazdeikis.
It's a good start looking for our Pitsnoggle there. It's a good start.
It's a good name, too, Brazdeikis. Gotta love that.
Feeling it a little bit. This is good. Eli, thank you,
Top notch, man.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
Outstanding. Eli Hershkovich of Sports Radio 670 The Score, who is very much our resident college basketball expert, as you can tell.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.